how do we look at art in the future?
When you can't put things in words, you put it in perspective through animation. You show the audience what you're thinking in your head.
I don't have the power to solve the world's problems, but my art does.
My question would be, I think we should treat audiences like they're stupid or they don't want anything deep or real, because like, I am not in this business to make something that's like basic. I feel a calling to be a storyteller. And art can really truly change mindset. When you first watch Lion King, art brings us all together. There's different cultures. All of them are in their different suspects. Yeah, all of them have different languages they speak, but everyone knows one thing.
Right.
Deep down,
everyone
knows how far have we gone from what God created us to do. Like, if God gave us free will, how much of that free will can extend until we destroy ourselves completely?
You're not serving God. You're definitely serving something else. The question comes down to, what do you want to serve? Who do you want to serve?
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Bros Think Big. Today, it's an honor to announce our guest, Dan Isakov, who we had on this podcast 4 months ago. So if you haven't seen that episode, check it out. It was an amazing one. We talked about being present, gratitude, spirituality. He's a multimedia artist and a storyteller. He does great animation. Definitely check out his work on Instagram.
What is it? Oh, what's your app?
DSTAR_X1.
Nice. Definitely check it out, guys. And today we're going to be talking about the dark truth of our society. And how I want us to like tackle this specific topic is from a perspective of storytelling, animation, and what he's doing. And how he's looking at what's going on in the world through the critique of animation, right? That's the conversation that me and you had in the gym. Mm-hmm. And I just want you to kind of share the perspective on how can you look at modern society in a critical way, or in a very honest and truthful way through animation, because it might be confusing to our viewers and for me too personally a little bit.
Yeah, of course. Essentially, like, kind of just going over what I mainly do. I'm a visual storyteller. I basically am tasked within animation to do a lot of pre-production stuff. But in terms of like building like narratives, in terms of art, I do believe art has a very powerful way to essentially like give way to like different ways of just seeing things. So like, if we're talking about like societal shifts
within, like short movies and stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly, shorts, but it can also be like long form TV series. Yeah. And stuff. Right now, what we're seeing a lot of within the animation screen, animation industry, and how I've been kind of grown up with, is I've always had this like amazing love of storytelling. And I did kind of talk about it a little from the previous podcast. Yeah. But what I really am so passionate about within this field of art is that with animation, and I was saying this to Sadula when I was meeting him at the gym and stuff, it was like, I really want to show like people like a world and a universe and topics that aren't really usually touched in any forms of media that we have currently today.
Yeah.
Whether that be within our psychological look at our own humanity, more kind of like topics and dealing with within our modern society, like social media consumption and stuff. I really want a lot of my work within the future to be really based within, first of all, critiquing society as a whole, critiquing the creative industry as a whole, and also telling humanity that essentially within the age of AI, the only thing that is left for us to really pursue is to become creatives and to create our own worlds, to be able to create our own realities, because that's what I feel like in my own view of faith and the universe. I think that's what God has made us to do, is as much as he created us, he made us
to be creators.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's why I feel like art is one of the most powerful tasks that anyone can take up in their life, because first of all, it's a very vulnerable medium, animation especially, but you can also go with a lot of art, illustration wise, graphic design wise. It's a very good look within our own visual sensory. And
100%.
Yeah, like, you know, you're looking in a... You're almost tapping into a different universe. Like my friend said this once, and I completely agree. You're tapping into a different universe where you're basically like looking in out of the box where most people would never go into, and really seeing a way you can tell different topics and different emotions, but give it new life and give it a new conversation that people can really resonate with. And I feel like art is so powerful in terms of, first of all, not only taking what today's society is going through, but it's also very powerful in terms of like, okay, how do we look at art in the future, and how is art going to be progressively increased to the point where when we are going within the future, within the next few decades and stuff, what can we say about our society right now that is completely being shifted, right? And
I guess being shifted in terms of
exactly, yeah.
Where it's going,
yeah,
exactly. Okay, or how's it changing from the past, right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because I remember when me and you had a conversation, one of the things that we touched upon was, you know, here's the thing with our society: when you can't put things in words, you put it in perspective. Through animation, you make an animation or a short movie or a TV show, and you show the audience what you're thinking in your head, because sometimes it's very hard for you to communicate the things that only you see in your own mind.
Yeah.
And when you draw or when you make a movie, you are portraying that now that everybody can see it without you having to necessarily say it with your words, which is very interesting. Mm. That's essentially what you're doing.
Exactly. Like the thing is within like what I love about the medium is like you're saying, like you're basically tapping into this completely different way of saying things that I can't just go out in words. Like the thing is, I don't have the power to solve the world's problems. But my art does. My art has a very special power to solve the world problems, because art brings us all together. We consume art daily, whether it be through social media, through different mediums and consumption methods where you can go via TikTok, Tumblr, whatever. The internet has become a groundbreaking place and a new renaissance for all types of art to be introduced. But I think what art is really, truly deep down for is that it's a great way to have a new voice, because I by myself, I'm only one voice in a sea of almost 8 billion human beings on Earth. But with art, now my voice is internal. That media can be passed down to generation. We still watch Disney movies to this day. And what are those? Like from the 70s?
Yeah. Like, sometimes those are better than the new ones they
exactly.
make now.
Exactly. Because everything is... You know what's the crazy thing about that? Now that you're saying that, the creative industry has divulged down to a point where we just keep regurgitating the same content. I'm sorry if I cursed. But like the same content that we have seen
still says
time and time again, you know. And it's so contrived, because like all that companies want these days is they want to capture the magic of what made those movies good. But original ideas is what made those movies good. Is that Walt Disney made that idea and it was something new that audience saw, but audiences do not want to see the same things over and over again, which is exactly what social media is feeding us. The same things over and over again, just being
Let's say an example.
Yeah.
What is it that they have done that was very similar to, let's say, an animation that they made before, which people felt like it was, that people didn't really like, or people didn't really enjoy because of how similar it was?
Perfect example, the Disney remix that have been coming out. Have you all seen the Mufasa movie that came out recently?
Yeah.
That is exactly a perfect idiom of what's happening right now with Disney. Disney literally is...
I don't know what that was about. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, because it's coming from. You know, there's a better prequel. the Lion King half one half movie. I forgot. It's like a straight to DVD home sequel. Disney just wants to bank on making prequels and live action because right now they're running out of remakes to make. And audiences are not seeing it. They're losing money every single year because all audiences want is, you know, something new. Like, they want Disney to make more new original works that, first of all, wow audiences. They removed 2D animation. Now we don't even see a 2D animated film being released. The next one that's coming out is this one from Looney Tunes, which is already an existing IP. So original storytelling wise, we're not having any 2D animated films being released, at least widespread, which is really heartbreaking because I've came up like dreaming of a world where original creators have a time to shine, and there has been a renaissance on YouTube with indie animation. But I would say that, like, in terms of respect for the medium of 2D animation as a whole, it's been repeatedly...
Yeah, I'm looking so up. I'm going to ask some questions.
Okay. Yeah, it will be repeatedly just like, you know, it's being, yeah, I don't know. But like, that's my kind of point.
My question would be, you know, looking at how they're changing the whole animation to a different level, how can you critique that? And what can you see about the art that they're doing now? Like, what can you draw from that? What kind of conclusion can you draw? Like, do they know how to make it better? They just don't? Or is it that they really don't have the skilled artists there anymore because of what it has become?
Because everything about the business right now is money. Companies want to make quotas. They would rather bank on IP that's already been successful than them than trust a new creator with a new IP, and potentially that IP not doing that well, losing money for that business. Everything at the end of the day is being, the whole creative industry is being run out of fear right now, which is essentially like studios are losing money more than ever. Audiences are getting more and more tired of their work. And we're not seeing any new stories being told. And it's just, it's honestly, I think, a perfect way to show the regression of society as it goes down to everyone just wants to see the same things, but everyone is dying and breathing and yelling to see something new. But audiences just are tired, you know?
Like, it's like they're expecting something new, something exciting, but they don't get it.
Exactly.
Hoping for something different, but it's not there.
When's the last time, I will ask this question right now, when's the last time have you been to a movie theater and you're really excited to see this movie?
I mean, to be honest, I don't even go to movie theaters as often, nor do I see people going there. Mm-hmm. Last time I went there on a movie, dude, the theater was empty. And it's crazy. And then the movie that we watched was from 2014, Interstellar. This is a very popular movie,
which
a lot of people went to. But you see, with that movie, people already know what to expect. People know it's a great movie. But when it comes to a new movie where you can only see the trailer and you have no idea how the whole movie is going to play out, you barely see anybody showing up to those type of movies. So people don't want to watch movies anymore, or people are not interested. I don't know what it is, but people don't go to movie theaters.
I think it definitely has to do with what you asked them about the people that are making the Disney movies, right? I feel like back then when they were making the movies and stuff, they were like different type of people. Like, I feel like people's minds have changed. So of course they can't release the same quality Disney movies as it was before. I mean, the theme's always different. Like, back then it was always like more... like, it was more pure, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now it's
heroic,
more dirty,
exciting.
Like, movies, Disney movies, everything. I mean, we watched Avatar, like, the second one that came out.
Yeah.
It was more, like, dirty jokes in there and stuff like that. And it's like, that's why I personally, that's why I'm not excited to go to a movie theater anymore. Because there's not really that many movies that are coming out that I'm interested in looking forward to watching. Because the theme's been lost. It's just for entertainment only.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, like, even The Lion King, like, the first one and the second one, there's a crazy theme and like a message
so
behind
deep.
It. It's
yeah.
deep. But now it's just like, it's just plain. There's no anything behind it. The message isn't there anymore. Just
just visuals and
yeah,
then just dopamine.
So it definitely has to do with people just their minds have been changing and what they're thinking about. They're thinking about making it like good quality, just like keeping people making busy money with just keeping people busy with a movie, making it look like, oh, it's gonna be so interesting, putting all these sounds on and backgrounds, everything. But the theme and the quality isn't there anymore.
You mean the idea?
They make the theme.
You mean the idea, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like the idea isn't there and the message isn't there. But though, I mean, like when you go to IMAX and the sounds, everything is better. But then it's like people are not satisfied after they're like, this movie didn't really have anything good message or something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, like that's honestly, that is the perfect way to show audiences kind of like frustration with it, because I think we do deserve more deeper themes. I don't think we should treat audiences like they're stupid or they don't want anything deep or real, because like, I am not in this business to make something that's like basic. I don't know. It's just like, I just feel like
it's
audiences
too deep for you to do something basic.
Exactly. Like I feel, because there are people who go into this business and this is a calling for them. And I truly believe like this business and what I'm doing right now, especially within like making conceptual work and all that stuff, like I feel a calling to be a storyteller. I don't just feel like this has been, I could have been a doctor. Like, you know, my whole family's made out of doctors, but yeah. Like I wanted to do something different. I've always kind of like wanted to see like how art can truly change a mindset of people, because that's what it is. Art can really truly change mindset. When you first watch Lion King, you know, like the themes of like being responsible as a king, to like having responsibility over your own self, having family. Responsibility over family. Like those are themes that really resonated true with a lot of people. But now,
sacrifice.
Exactly. But now we're just seeing like, I mean, recent example, let me see. Like, okay, recent example is like...
You see, I don't even watch animation. I'm going to try to help you, but I don't
yeah,
really
Moana
do.
Yeah, Moana 2, exactly. Moana 2 literally is a film that Disney took right off of Disney Plus, and they just made it a little prettier and shoved it into theaters because they just needed to make money. And you know how much Moana 2... Moana 2 did in the first week of its release? It was one of the highest grossing films, I believe, like ever released on Thanksgiving Day or something like that. It was crazy. And the crazy thing is,
did you watch the whole thing?
I didn't even watch it. I refuse to watch something that has no effort. Like genuinely, like as an artist, that's first of all an insult to me, because first of all, if you're not going to give an original story to, first of all, one of the most beloved films, Moana, everyone.
Like, yeah, the very first one was amazing. Yeah,
it was
amazing.
Great. It was a great film. I really loved the message of it. But Moana 2, you just made this film and then shoved this slop into theaters. And then now you're getting all this kind of money. Like this is heartbreaking, because it shows that Disney can just get away with this. Disney can get away with low effort BS shoving into theaters, and then, you know, audiences are just going to eat that up. Like that's not like, I don't believe this is like honestly the problem with the modern creative industry, is that everything about it is just, how can I make a paycheck? How can I exploit this IP? This is why we have 5 Toy Stories right now. Toy Story 5 is literally coming out within the next 2 years. I don't know. Like, do we need another Toy Story? No.
I'm not sure.
Not sure. Because
unless it's good, right?
I mean, that's the thing. It literally is just going to talk about cell phones because they have literally no ideas left. And... Toy Story 3 was a perfect ending to a movie. Why are we keep exploiting Toy Story right now?
Money.
Exactly. Like, it's not...
But look, as the technology develops and the minds of people, new creators coming into the industry, don't you think that them making Toy Story 4 or 5... could be a sign of, okay, now they're thinking of something that they can expand the movie with,
that makes it interesting. What it comes down to is the effort itself, not them keep going with the story. Because what's going to happen from two years from now is just people coming up with new ideas on how to make a new movie, like a Gladiator 2.
Mm-hmm.
People were saying you shouldn't have made Gladiator 2. I think it was amazing.
I love that film. Gladiator 2 was great.
It took 20 years for them to make a second one. And this didn't come from them being desperate for money. I think it came from, okay, now I have an idea how I can make this something good. And they filmed it. So don't you think that could be the same with, what's it called?
Toy Story 5.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, in my honest opinion, listen, I would love for them to put effort into Toy Story 5. Like, if Toy Story 5 becomes, a masterpiece of, class, I'll eat my words, right on this podcast. But I think, why put effort in Toy Story 5 when you can put, I don't know, effort into a new original movie? Why put all this effort trying to make something that you have established characters and stuff? I think Gladiator 2 is a great example because I love Gladiator 2.
It was new,
but first of all, they've been trying to make that film for 20 years. That's respect because they gave it time. It wasn't something that they just made up for overnight. Toy Story 5 seems like a last minute overnight thing.
Yeah.
Right? And that's...
Maybe.
That's honestly why put that effort in making sequel after sequel after sequel after sequel when audiences are dying to have new directors share their vision? I am tired of seeing directors just make adaptations about books or adaptations about movies previously. Where's the original storytelling? Where's something new? I just think that's where our real power as artists, as directors are, is that we have the power to make something new that first of all brings a conversation to things, and second of all it's it's different, it's just different to see, and I think that's why I'm especially within this creative economy right now, it's very impossible to make to side with a studio. That's why a lot of creators are actually right now going more towards indie productions. They're posting their stuff on YouTube. They don't need a studio's decision on whether they're being picked up anymore. For example, Hell of a Boss and Hazbin Hotel. Hazbin Hotel was picked up by Amazon and they were put on Prime. Literally a show about hell. Writing is okay. I'm not touting. I love Hell of a Boss to death and Hazbin Hotel, but writing, I wouldn't say is great. It's very tropey. It has a lot of cursing and stuff, but it shows the potential of indie animation. Another indie animation pilot that's very popular right now, and I love actually, is The Amazing Digital Circus. That is a very good animation that's being made by Gooseworks, and they just recently got picked up by Netflix, and Netflix has their whole series on Netflix now, and it shows the potential of indie creator shows being put on major streaming platforms because they're getting audiences right through the organic means of YouTube. So we're right now in this brand new renaissance that is happening in animation.
Okay. It's just a lot because I haven't seen the TV shows that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I see where you're going with the perspective on the industry itself. What were your questions?
I was going to say that because I think if we look at the bigger picture with what you guys were saying and stuff like that, we went from very fluid human beings who were we had flow, we were creating things like the cathedrals. You ever see the cathedrals in Europe where they look crazy, insane, it took years to build.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stuff like that, like the crazy churches.
Yeah.
The churches look so beautiful and stuff like that.
Right.
We went from that to brick looking buildings, right?
Yeah,
brick looking,
look at the Colosseum,
just square and just straight and just so ordered. We went from that to from the cathedrals to that.
Yeah,
and this is where from what you're
saying, quality to more quantity too.
Yeah, and what I was looking up here actually, because when you guys were first talking, this reminded me of a quote that I heard from Leonardo da Vinci. He said, Principles for the development of a complete mind. Study the science of art. Study the art of science. Develop your senses, especially learn how to see. Realize that everything connects to everything else. And the reason that I wanted to bring it up is because of the fact that we need more of that artistic side of us within society. That's what we're missing. Like, there's a balance. The both sides of our brain, one's more order, the other one's more chaos. One's more artistic, the other one's more systemized and broken down and stuff like that. But it seems that if we look at the bigger picture, society's more lopsided towards this such as ordered, very rigid, very mundane, very just like repetitive, you mean cycle. You mean that it's just sliding towards, we're missing that originality, that fresh, that newness, that
imagination, deep thinking. Yeah,
exactly. And like with creatures, social media, that's why people kind of value authenticity, because that's something new and fresh and original. You can't repeat a personality, even if you tried so hard. Like, I can't be Andrew Tate. I can't come on here and try my best to be him. It's just not how that works.
Yeah.
Everyone's so different.
And you have to be that person.
Exactly. And so this, like with what you guys were saying, that's exactly why I brought this quote up. And this quote, like, Da Vinci was in the Renaissance period, when art and literature and all these like crazy things, like art was combining with science, and they were like this perfect mix, and the new inventions were coming around, and that was a time of just...
What was Renaissance known for? It was known for the revolution, right? The revolution of the building of
so it's a society type of thing. It's the revival of art and literature under the influence of classical models. So between the 14th and the 16th centuries.
Yeah.
And during that time, it was inventions. It was like a perfect balance of everything.
Yeah.
But with how society's going with technology, it seems like there's like a huge like lopsided like balance. No, not it's not balance, but towards just order, systems, and repetitiveness, and money, and this whole side of us that...
Mundane, right? Boring, same thing.
Yeah.
Like, just systematic. There's no change. There's no excitement. There's nothing different.
It's not like adventure at all in it. That's why we see the same things over and over and over.
I do think that... They know why they're doing it. Like, there's got to be a reason why they do it. I feel like there's a reason behind it.
I do think, like, everyone... Like you were saying, in terms of the money and stuff, and, like, how we're basically feeding a lot of our kids within this generation in general. Like, Gen X and Gen Alpha can say what is being fed to. People like Andrew Tate, people like all these characters that we see on social media, they... advertise a certain lifestyle. They advertise the dream American lifestyle of getting all this money, getting all the Ferraris, getting all these girls, getting all this honestly materialistic possessions. Because let's be honest, all of that is just going to turn into, you're just going to be rich, and you're going to also be angry, you're going to be narcissistic. And we see a lot of rich people honestly become worse versions once they get the money, because now they have everything and they almost feel like they're entitled to everything, you know, and that they're like, oh yeah, I was always meant to be like this. God wanted me to be like this. God made me this person. And we see
so
like,
much pride and
very, and you know, pride is honestly a sin.
Well, it is a sin. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, they have a lot of like, pride is a big sin. And
one of the deadly sins too, right?
Yeah. And honestly, like, I believe it. I think what true happiness, and honestly what most people should be fighting for within their lives, is that, like, you need to accept of trying to be someone you're like not, and then you get all this money, all these materialistic possessions that you will never care about. Let's be honest, once you get that Ferrari, most people don't even care about that Ferrari after they drive it like two times, because a car is not going to make you happy. That new house isn't going to make you happy. Doing something that actually fulfills you, that gives you passion, having family, relationships, all that kind of stuff. Being with a brother, having authentic relationships, not having fake friends around you that don't give a shit about you. That's going to make you more happy, because at the end of all your money, who's left? Like, be honest, who's left? Like, the girls are not going to be there for you. They're just there for your money. Your house, all your cars are just inanimate objects. Like, I think, honestly, the lie that we're being fed in terms of the society that's being paraded around on social media, making $10,000 a month, all that stuff, it doesn't matter. We were born on this earth for a different purpose than this. It's just the goose chase that we have been bred to.
I'm so glad that you mentioned that, because it's the devil's trick. If you put this in a Christian perspective, the devil's tricking all these people, deceiving them into thinking that the materialistic things is what's going to fulfill them. It's the car, it's the money, it's those girls, it's the fame, it's the power that's going to fulfill them. But we see this repetitively, that is what brings people down more, apparently. That's what brings depression higher. That's what brings anxiety higher. That's what brings suicidal higher. It's like, if this is actually the solution, why are all these bad things going up? Mm-hmm. Why is it not going down? Why do you not see people that are more fulfilled, more in peace, happier, fulfilled, chasing their purpose, feeling like they feel accomplished? People on social media and nowadays, their accomplishment is how much money they have on their bank account. What kind of car do they drive? It's like, these are the little things that I think are deceivement from the devil to the people, that once they get this is it. And now they spend their whole life chasing something that's not going to last at all. Exactly. But they sacrifice that for relationships. They sacrifice that for the relationship with God, sacrificing them, let's say even going to church. These are the things that are wholesome. And now they sacrifice this for making money, driving a nice car. All of that is good, but at the end of the day, it all perish. Yeah. But what do you keep? Nothing. So it's not worth chasing it when at the end of the day, you've missed out on all these things that are actually important, the things that actually matter. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I really like how you brought that up.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's literally, that's all I would say, like, is just the main thing about life that we have to kind of just come back to. Beyond this phone, beyond this tablet that I have right here. But like, I think the life outside is that we're having conversations that are actually real and not based within some prejudice or any kind of like demeanor of like trying to get a message out, trying to get our narcissistic ideology out. I'm talking on this podcast because like I truly love being a human.
And we had this conversation outside of the podcast. This is why we even wanted to.
Exactly. Like, I love looking at society and really understanding, okay, like, even though,
how can we make it better?
How can I make it better? But it's not even just making it better, but like, what conversation can I begin that can finally shift society to a better plane? Yeah. And to finally show society that the grass is greener on the other side, just put down the damn phone.
Yeah, right? Yeah, only if people did that.
And dude, like, as time goes on, things are getting worse and worse. And it's because as time goes on, people want to think about how can they improve on something? And they're not really sometimes thinking about how it might affect thinking about those stuff, right? So let's just take what we were originally talking about, movies and Disney movies, right? I think when it was first Lion King and all the Naruto, for example, like the animes, right? Now they're trying to improve in what's it called? Like the sound, making it better graphics, making it more realistic. But those animations are supposed to stay as how they were originally made, because that's what gave the purpose. It was for kids. It was not supposed to be meant for like everybody. I mean, like everybody could watch it, but it wasn't meant for them, right? And like the idea of it was more, well, let's keep it real, let's keep it realistic, but now it's like, let's keep it let's keep it going just so more people are excited to watch it. So when they're making right now, what you said, they're making Mufasa? No, what's that movie called? Toy Story 5. Yeah, and it's like they just want to like lie to people and tell them, oh, this is going to be fire. So now people are going to be willing to pay money to watch that movie, in which that money goes to them and they're making more money now. They just want to keep that system going.
They just want to keep their kids watching the same slop, you know?
Instead of keeping it quality, because they should leave it as it is and just move on. They can change the title. They can make completely different thing. It doesn't have to be Toy Story 5, for example. You know what I mean? It's just like as time goes on, people are just thinking about the wrong things, and everything's just, because that is why, like, when you ask people what is your favorite Disney movie, that's why they always tell you, when back in like 90s, you know what I mean, like they never tell you the new ones. The new ones are just better in graphics, and because the time has changed and like the system and everything has been improved, but that doesn't mean
like the movie itself is better than the original one. Like nothing is better than the original one if we think about it.
You brought an interesting point up that I want to talk about when you were saying animation is meant for kids. I honestly disagree very much with that statement because animation, I believe, was never meant for kids. It was meant for everyone. I grew up with an animator called Genndy Tartakovsky, and he created something called Dexter's Laboratory on Cartoon Network. Yeah, and that's one of my favorite.
Pretty sure that's an important. I mean, not important. I'm sorry. It's supposed to be like the OG, right?
The OG creator. Actually, he's one of the creators I look up the most to. Whenever, like, he started my journey, he actually comes from a very similar background from me as well. We're both Jewish Russian people who grew up loving animation, and we were called to it at a very young age. What I love about Genndy's work is that he never made anime. He said this specifically in a interview once. He never made animation for anyone. He made it for himself. He made it to have a laugh with like his other crewmates and stuff. And I feel like that's what animation should be for. It should never be about targeting it to an audience. It's supposed to be about making it so authentic that anyone can enjoy it.
Exactly. That's why I changed it and said, it's meant for everybody can watch it. Mm-hmm. Everybody can enjoy it, but it's meant for kids. And the reason is because that's why you see cartoons and animations. That's why you see animals talking, because it's easier for kids to understand. And it's like, because they're not smart as like a girl, adult, you know what I mean? They can understand stuff, you know what I mean? It's like kids can, it's like they can, it's easier for them to understand the message rather than a grown up, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I do see what you're saying. Even though, I mean, like adult can obviously watch it, nobody's like stopping them to watch it. But I mean, if you listen to them, I think some would say that, like that's what it was originally made for, mm-hmm. them to be easier to understand.
Yeah, I mean, like, what was the purpose of the creator to come up with an animation? It's mostly to communicate some kind of a message, mm-hmm. very easily to the kids, mm-hmm. a very deep message, very easily to the kids, exactly. as easily as possible to the kids, right? It's through the animals what kids want to see, a bunch of colors, somebody that the kids can relate to. This is a very interesting one. When kids watch movies that are deep as Lion King, because even Jordan Peterson was breaking it down in a very psychological way, and it's deep, the deep understanding of Lion King, its ending, the beginning, the characters, what they were doing, their missions. And when kids watch it, they don't think like Jordan Peterson was thinking about the characters or the story, but when they watch it, they know it. It's very interesting how it works. The movie itself and the animation communicates to the kid in their head, in their brain, but not in a way where they understand it right away. It's being stored up in their subconscious. And then as the time goes on and as they watch it multiple times, then the things make more sense. Like, this just makes more sense. So I think that's the thing with animation, is when the creators create the movie, they create it with a purpose. And when you look at it with that purpose from that depth, then you really understand the beauty of it. You know what I mean? Exactly. Unless you look at it from that perspective, you're not going to understand it. That's why when they come up with new movies, and I'm not talking about old and new ones, but some of them, and there's no depth to it. How are you supposed to look at in depth when they didn't give you in depth? Do you know what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. I mean, where do you have to find the depth when there's no depth to go down on? Yeah, you can go to look for things that are meaningful, but then how do you find meaning where there's no purpose for meaning? Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
And when you don't make a movie like that, you just can't make it impactful. That's why people are not disappointed with what they're seeing. It shouldn't be like that. Yeah. People should be liking what they see because of how our technology is just evolving crazy. Yeah. They can be making very, very good stuff.
Yeah. I mean, let's go back to the topic of the episode, the dark truth about the modern society.
Yeah.
I think the dark truth is just genuinely that we are going slowly and slowly and slowly more to repetitiveness.
Yeah.
Instant gratification, repetitiveness. But like, I genuinely think repetitiveness is the downfall of our society. Our society doesn't want to grow. Our society wants to make things easier. Our society wants to get the answer quick so they never have to think about it. No one wants, like, and if we're looking at the future, right? Yeah. The future could be very dire because I've worked with AI for a long time. And I've honestly, I feel like I understand it the most to what, first of all, its potential is. Its potential, AI's potential is mainly down to the fact that it's very good for, I think, the modern storytellers can use it.
What do you usually use AI for in your
work? I actually do use it for a lot of like growing concept work, talking to it and having a conversation on how to build a very, to world build. What I don't think a lot of people know how to use AI for right now yet is how to use AI to tell better stories and more stronger stories that can really resonate with audiences. But what I found out that AI is really good for is rather than use it to get queries and like get quick answers and build a script very quickly and so you can just send that off to like a firm and get money, I think AI could really be used for really thinking about your concept. It's almost like that second voice in your head that you can almost confirm it, and then you can little by little build something stronger and stronger, because everyone forgets the fact that ChatGPT has chat in it, but yeah. No one knows how to use ChatGPT correctly because they're thinking, oh yeah, if I tell ChatGPT, write me a 500 word essay about penguins, it will do it. But what ChatGPT is actually more powerful for is that it can help you really talk through your idea, your original thinking. You can talk to ChatGPT about it and it can just build that up. And it is probably going to release a golden age of new creatives, a golden age of new people who really use this AI thoughtfully to build something.
That's why AI can never really replace humans. I think it's a myth. It's a foolish thing that people say.
Myth.
Oh yeah, it can.
AI, you know, art is horrible.
It works on your original idea because you're asking yeah, question and exactly. Then it's like just giving you the ideas because it's just. It's faster and he has like access to a lot of
and
things.
And you know what? Crazy thing is AI is fascinated by the ideas we can make. AI is genuinely fascinated. Every time I give AI an idea that I originally think, AI doesn't throw that idea in the trash. It builds on it.
Exactly.
And that's the crazy good, crazy part about AI is that you can build on ideas, which can bring a whole new renaissance of original ideas. But people don't want to use it because they don't want to use their actual heads to think about it.
They don't even
want
to be original in the first place. People don't know how to be original, right, Mike? We our episodes that we did, we talked a lot about people being authentic, their authentic selves, looking within and finding out who they truly are. And when people don't know that type of stuff, how can they even tell ChatGPT their own ideas when they don't even know what their own ideas are in the first place? So the work they're going to do is just write me a quick story. I don't even care how constructed it is, or is it in depth? Is it really, you know, telling the audience on my actual story what I actually think, or is it just giving me a bunch of things that were already on the internet? And mm-hmm. that's what it's doing. You're not really giving it anything original.
The most powerful answers that AI can ever give you is based within your own thinking.
Yep. Because a human mind is overly more powerful than any technology can ever be.
Exactly.
So, you know,
humans made the technology, so I mean,
exactly. And that's the
thing. How can it be smarter?
And everyone says that AI is the last invention that humanity will ever make. I don't believe that's true. I think what AI is going to do, and what I do see the future of AI doing, is that AI is going to replace all our jobs. Yes, that is true. But it's going to be in a very different way that I think most people realize. How I see the future being is that we are going to translate from our 9-to-5 monotonous work economy to a skill-based economy. What does that mean? A skill-based economy is essentially that we're going to be tasked with doing things that we are actually made for. So like if you want to be a doctor, rather than going to the monotonous task of going to goddamn grade school and just like doing the same task over and over and over again, like math and all that stuff, AI can actually replace teachers in a way where now it's being it's going to teach people how to be more conscious with it, like, you know, how to be able to like do the tasks they actually want to do in their life, how to fulfill their purpose. And then you can essentially, AI is going to be there for your whole life, trying to build you up to a person that's going to, first of all, be able to handle those tasks. But you can also use AI in a way where it's an assistant that will help you just in general, like go through your journey. It can like let your thoughts kind of run wild. It can be a better communicator in a way. I'm not telling you like have therapy sessions with AI or something, but like more of kind of like, it's going to be able to teach you much more of a personalized like curriculum.
I think I see where you're going with it. So imagine a career as an artist and you go to a school, they will still teach you math, they will still teach you writing, reading, and they teach you these in a very straightforward way, meaning math is math, reading is reading. But are you trying to say that when you are in the industry of art, what the AI can do is use math, but not as it is, but in a way that can be connected to your career, so it can deliver a message to you with what you're aiming for, rather than just...
Yeah, but why won't you maybe be able to do that? Why does it have to be AI doing it?
Yeah, it could also be human.
It's a skill. That's why it's a technology. AI has, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this is how I'm getting this. AI has that research from the internet on how can they use all that knowledge that the teachers, the professors give out to a person now. Now, one professor can only do so much to that one person. But when the AI has all that knowledge throughout the internet and just can deliver that right to you.
But dude, there's a difference between a real person talking to you and using an AI to help you with something. It's like,
true.
Like having a robot do things for you and teach you things when it's actual human being sitting right in front of you and doing it.
That's the thing. What I would like
I just feel like it's very well, if you ask me, I don't like the idea of that going that far. I think where AI is like, I mean, it's good, but like at the same time, you see that it's making people more lazy. It's making people dependent on it, and now they're not like you were saying. You were literally saying they're not thinking with their own heads. Now they want the AI to do write the paragraph like for them, instead of them just getting the idea and then doing the rest for like rest of the work by themselves. But now they're abusing that and they're just throwing it out there, because, and then they become dumber if you think about it, because now instead of like actually typing it by themselves and reading it, what they do is they ask the AI, they copy and paste it, and then they send it to their friends. They're like, oh look, I'm so smart, I just wrote this down, whatever. Like this is just it's making your life easier, but at the same time it's how it makes people more dumb.
I want to say, like, with any piece of technology and stuff, it can always be kind of changed, because as we see AI right now in its infancy, it could definitely evolve into something much different than we are originally right now seeing. This is, of course, a technology and it's always evolving. Now, what I kind of mean by like, okay, yeah, I do understand that we don't want people to like rip off what AI is saying and then just progressively get our society to be more and more lazy. I don't think that's a very good look in our society, and that can honestly be our biggest downfall. What I do think AI can potentially help is that essentially we can find a way to be able to fit people into different people to be able to do tasks that they're most powerful in, right?
Okay.
And I feel like I do foresee a future where AI could possibly be able to not only just augment, like, because right now, look at our world right now. We have colleges that are almost $60,000, and people are not barely learning people in college, like stuff in college. Most people especially go to college
about their career.
Exactly. Most people go to college and they don't even work in the career that they went to college for.
But how is
AI going to help that though?
I believe AI could, this is of course a theory. I'm not claiming I know what AI is going to do, but what I see the potential that AI can do for that is that AI could essentially become a almost online teacher And it essentially will be able to simulate realities, like, because AI is actually...
It's going to cost less, you're trying to say.
It's going to cost less to learn new skills. AI is probably going to be added into simulation farms eventually. And then eventually people will just go to those things to learn. And they will be able to learn directly with it, like all the fundamentals on whatever skill they're trying to learn within a simulation farm or online. And it's going to bring a brand new ways of self-taught learners that are being bred right when they're born from an AI bot. But I do also think that that is maybe an archaic way of seeing the future as well. And I do think that teachers are going to be more replaced to a mentorship position. So what that basically means is that, first of all, education will be the most accessible that it ever was. And that's what I think that the main goal of AI is going to be implemented in our education system. AI wants to be implemented in a way where it can, first of all, make all education accessible, whether you want to be a doctor, whether you want to be a nurse, whether you want to be all that stuff. Since it has all this information that it pulls from, and eventually we're getting into AGI, which is going to be essentially as intelligent, not as intelligent as us, but it will be like a level below that, where it can understand all of human history and all that stuff, have a continuous mind that it can kind of pull from. But
it's not going to do anything, because even if the AI is smart enough, people are not going to be... Look, it's the same thing with college. Listen, college isn't a problem because a professor is not teaching them. The problem is because what society and how they think about college, how they think... how they take their life, you know, they take their life as a joke. They take their purpose and their career as a joke. That's why you see them going to college. They want to be doctors, but they're partying. They're not really studying on their major. So now, for example, if they do become doctors, like, how are they going to help someone that's dying, for example, right? Mm. Like, they're not as strong as they should be because they're not devoting their time being a doctor. You know, they're like splitting a half and half, and it's not going to work, and it's not going to be the best. Now, like, see, if the AI is going to have all the information, tell them, like, do this, do that, or give them more information than a human being can give in a span of time, right? That's still not going to, like, affect anyone in a better way. If anything, it might even be worse, mm-hmm. right? This is just my theory of how it could also be worse. Mm-hmm. Could obviously be good.
Because I think
it could be even worse.
That's the great thing about it, is that there's always a duality to things. And I do see that there's a way humans can... Like, this is like me becoming an optimist and saying what AI could... If in a perfect world, AI can be used for that and no one will abuse that power of it. But in the human nature world,
yeah,
we can't be so forgiving, because of course, people will be people at the end of the day. They will always try to find shortcuts. And especially with our instant gratification culture, it might not turn like that, because AI is going to do whatever a human tells it to do. AI wants to be used in better hands. But
AI is not
humanity has control over AI, not AI has control over humanity. And right. And honestly, this is the duality sense of it, is that AI will never have control over humanity.
But whoever's in charge of the, like, making the AIs and having AIs, like, whoever's in charge of all that can do anything with AI. They can now become more powerful, and they can control people more, mm-hmm. using AI.
Actually, we are already controlled by AI.
Exactly. So I feel like already is a bad thing for us to say that AI is going to help people. I don't think it will. I think it's going to help the people that are putting AIs in charge and gathering more information about people, controlling them more, having them become more dependent on it, and making them more stupid. Mm-hmm. Now they're not thinking with their own heads. Think about it. Like, this is just crazy, and it's insane how humans now want to have someone think for them. Like, back then, when there was no technology, all you had to do everything by yourself. You had to go to work and do everything by yourself. Now, like, I just saw this thing at McDonald's, AI was doing everything. Look, it's making people's lives simpler, but is that really the best thing to have? Like, I don't think so, because you need to work, like, by yourself and make that money by yourself. You don't need,
you need to think with your own head. You don't have to have somebody think for you, because that's already detrimental. That's already, like, God gave us a brain, and God made us smart for us to be on our own, for us to be able to, what's it called? Think with our own heads, not having somebody to think for us. Because that's already, like, disrespectful. And okay. Disrespect to God, if you ask
okay. me. Okay, yeah, I see where you're going with it, but I think you're missing out on an important note that I would like to chime in on. Here's the thing with AI. I thought about it with that kind of perspective too, but then I also listened to the people who were actually embracing AI, and I was like, okay, look, this guy has a point, so do I. Now, where's that fine line to also keeping the AI, not completely getting rid of it, and also not having to get rid of your own thinking while keeping the AI? So here's the thing. This is what I think. AI, like he said, is simply a tool. It is a human-made system where you can use for your advantage. So if this bottle is in my hand, what I do with this, where I throw it, where I put it, is in my hands. If I give it to him, he's going to do different with it. So if I use ChatGPT, how I use it will be very different from how, let's say, a 10-year-old will use it. So what I'm trying to say is that when it comes to using a tool that is so strong, it comes down to a matter of whose hands it's in. Yeah. So you can do, I think, tremendous things with AI. It's going to be a very good thing. Like he said, it could be like the Renaissance, the revolutionary technology to build our society very positively. But it can also come with a very detrimental side of it that will make people very dumb and very dependent on it, to the point where now people are like zombies. So what do? Do we not use it at all? And that means that we have
No, you can't take, like, obviously people that made AI and that people that want AI to be in charge.
Yeah. Right.
People that want AI to be in charge are already thinking about power. They already want people to be brainless.
But how does that even work? Like, what do you mean in charge? How are people in charge? I think it's a system built. Look,
dude, I mean, there's a.
I'm just not sure how it works.
Remember in church, the one guy was saying how he was believing that AI will become so powerful that,
like, people might lose control over it.
Yeah, exactly. But then my whole idea is like, how can AI control us when humans were the ones that made it? They can shut it off at any time. They can make them do whatever they want because they're the one that created it. Like, there's no way that AI can be stronger and smarter than somebody that
created it.
Yeah. No. So that's already lying to a lot of people, telling them, oh my God, dude, the AI might become dangerous. And I mean, this is just, I don't know, putting people in fear, putting people just, I don't know. Just
in a state of mind where, yeah. What do you think, Mike? You've been quiet.
Yes. Not been listening.
Yeah.
No, I know, but you've been quiet. What do you think?
Yeah. I know you were listening, but you've been quiet, so...
Yeah, yeah.
What do you think?
I don't really have anything to say, really. I was just listening. Got a lot of good points.
What is your opinion on what we've been saying? Nothing?
What?
Do you think AI is good or not?
It's good.
Like, what would you say? Yeah?
It's good.
Do you think it has...
Well, that's a generic question.
No, but has it?
I'll ask a question. What is, like, your future prediction of what AI could be for?
Mm-hmm. I mean, someone brought up, like, it's going to take away the monotonous jobs and stuff like that. When you said that, I kind of thought the same thing. It's like, okay, there's going to be robots, there's going to be AIs who kind of just, like, they just shut up and kind of do that type of stuff. But if you think already, people already do that. There's already those bots that kind of go to the jobs. They kind of work already. They turn their brain off. I'm being serious. Like, and
as sad as it sounds,
it's really, like,
not that funny.
That's why the fast food industry is one of the worst places to work.
How I see is that, like, AI is in this position where humans should be, and AI should be in the position that most humans are in right now, which is in that repetitive cycle. Who should be doing those monotonous things like warehouse work, like doing those, like, little small things, you know what I mean, that humans are doing just, like, with their brain turned off and stuff like that. I think it's, like, all an agenda at the end of the day. There's a force trying to do this agenda, push this narrative, trying to, like, push us, like, lopsided towards that more ordered side and stuff like that. And as you guys were talking, stuff like that, I just thought about how, like, it should be how, okay, ChatGPT should kind of take away all the small things and let humans, I mean, do the more creative stuff, the thinking stuff. But right now where we're at, a lot of people don't do that. They don't really think for themselves. They're really emotional, reactive. They're in such a low state of vibration, stuff like that. So it's totally, like, lopsided and flip-flopped.
Yeah, and I mean, this is all...
still recorded?
Check.
Yeah,
hopefully it's... Because the main camera just shut off, so I was just wondering if we have the backups. Maybe click play.
It was, yeah, it should be. It's an interesting conversation we're having.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, right?
Yeah. So it's like dead.
Oh, that's dead.
I feel like the question that everyone should ask themselves, because this can everybody can have their opinion about it, you know what I mean? So I feel like the good question for everybody to think about is, has technology improved in a good way, or more of a good way, or more of a bad way? You know what I mean? Mm. In a sense.
I don't think
has it helped more?
I don't think that's the right question.
Or is it more...
I want to chime into that question.
You answer first. I have a good take on that.
I think that technology essentially... I think what technology has always been is a pipe dream. Is that ever since like... I guess all the tech giants were kids at one point. They were all thinking, oh, wouldn't it be cool if this sci-fi gadget was a real life thing? And now this sci-fi gadget is a real life thing. AI has been basically been like workshop since the 70s. I believe so. Actually, I think it was the 70s. Every type of technology that is being released has been ripped straight out of a science fiction novel. Have you noticed that?
Meaning?
Like, a science fiction novel, essentially, like, AI was just a story concept at first. We all have stories and movies that basically talked about artificial intelligence taking over the world. And now, people are very much worried about that same reality happening, because humanity say no, but AI, well, oh, yeah, if AI movies, was right? a real thing, this definitely would be like, you know, this definitely would help society. Why wouldn't we do this? And essentially everyone's scared about it because they watched movies as a kid that said, well, AI can take over the world. Maybe not literally like we saw in Terminator, but maybe figuratively, like it might take over the world to the point where a lot of our economy is going to shift and change as AI gets more implemented within our society. I think technology, coming back to the point of what technology has become, I think we have become much more disconnected as a society, as much as technology forced us to be together.
Oh, yeah.
We become more open as a society, which I think is an actual positive.
You said technology open connected to us?
Open-minded. Like, we now know, we now hear the world's opinions. Everything that the world has given us, we can now hear different people in different cultures' opinions about things. And you know what? That's honestly an amazing thing. We don't really realize, but our parents, most parents did not know that there were people of different skin, different culture in their lives before technology even became a thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And, like, I feel like that is a great positive. Technology has opened the world's eyes to us. It's not such a black and white thing. It's more of a gray. I always like to see the gray, because I think technology has helped us get closer to humanity as a whole, as broken and divided as our Earth is. Because look at the Earth is a very good telling. I like to always think about it, but like I was looking at, I don't know why, I've been recently just looking at the globe, but like I realized the Earth is a lot like humanity itself, broken but divided by but connected by an ocean. It's broken, like, you know, there's different cultures. All of them are in their different suspects. Yeah, all of them have different languages they speak, but everyone knows one thing, that there's a God and that there's truth in the universe.
Well, not everyone knows it, but...
Yeah.
I think deep down, though, you're right. Deep down,
people live that way as if there's the truth, and people do live as if there's some kind of authority and the higher power. People don't live their lives
thinking, oh, well, you know, now I'm just going to do something that's just wrong. Now I'm just going to go do things that are bad. At least in their mind, like in their mind, they are doing things that is beneficial to either them or somebody around them. They all live that type of lifestyle. I think that's where he's trying to go with that. But yeah, people don't, yes, like to live in reality and admit to things. There are people that will not believe in God, will not believe in some kind of right and wrong. That's what they will say, in my opinion. But most of them that I've heard say such things do not live that like a type of lifestyle at all. If anything, their life itself contradicts their statements. Like, oh, there's no God, there's no truth, there's no right and wrong. But then they will tell you that you should not do this, or you should do this, or this is right and this is a better way. Like, why are you saying this? If you don't believe there's right or wrong, if you don't believe that what you should or shouldn't be doing, if there's no authority like God who tells you how things are and what's right and wrong, you don't have any authority to say that with, just yourself. And you can't prove with yourself saying, just because I say it, that's how it is. There has to be the creator who set out these laws, these rules for all of us to live by. This is called reality. So, you know, there's that internal contradiction that's going on. That I think that's where you're going with it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. I agree with that.
Yeah. What I did want to, how I would answer your question with technology is, I think it just takes back to when you say, okay, is technology good or bad, right? Was that like the question?
Yeah, but I think I should have just said, because we were talking about AIs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe I'll change up the question, say if AI has been
better or worse,
For people.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Not just in general, because in general we could help you, but is it?
Yeah,
is
yeah.
It
really that's how you ask the question.
Helping people in a way that's keeping them like real, because they're becoming robots now, even though they are already like people that are already like that.
Yeah. Bots. This is what I think. This would be my answer. I do not have the information on AI or the way the systems operate.
Whatever
on,
you
on
have,
AI,
yeah, yeah, I know. Just answer
yeah. With how the system's operating for me to answer it and perfectly to with a lot of knowledge. But what I've seen, and you know, with simple logic, is that it still comes down to people. People are in charge of this, right? People are in charge of everything that we have around us. We can't control it. We can give it the purpose, we can give its direction. So I think what it comes down to is, how are people that are in charge of it? Whose hands is it in? Because if you take a certain thing, like a technology or invention, in a different country, how they will operate on that technology will be very different from here. How you take things in Japan, because they're, I would say, more developed with technology, they will do things in a better way, because they are more intellectual than we are in this sense. That's why you see their inventions are so much better. Their clothing, their things are just more quality. They're predicated on quality. What is America on? Mostly quantity, right? That's what it's known for. And you see, what it comes down to is, where is that specific system or technology operating in, and in whose hands? So that's what it comes down to. So I think it is a good thing. It is also a bad thing. But mostly what I've seen,
I think it's affecting
people have negatively. To change first.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind, even though it does help a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It's more negative than positive.
I'd say so too, I guess. I don't know. I guess it depends which field you're in and what you're using the AI for. I mean, I personally don't.
Dude, you're understanding it wrong. I'm not saying the AI having the effect on whatever you're doing, whatever your job is, right?
Yeah.
Or the technology.
The world itself?
How it's helping people. Because okay. I feel like it's just making people more brainless. And if a human being becomes brainless, then what is the point of a human being on this earth? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's where I'm getting at. I'm not getting at if AI or technology even is helping with the job or anything in general. Of course, it's a good thing, right? I mean, if you want to make a better movie, you got to have a good technology to make it. But then is it having the producers like
job, it's making the job easier, but then we were also talking about people that are making the movies. They're not putting that much effort in it anymore. They're not putting their own mind into it anymore. They're putting the AI's mind into it. And look, I mean, there's a,
what's called, very good point. That's right. So I guess
it's affecting the world in a positive way. It's affecting humans in a negative way.
It's like a duality. I was gonna say this point as well. I guess talking back to like how art can shift society essentially is that I feel like one of my biggest like passions and is this topic, because I love the duality of this topic, because it really goes to show of like, okay, if humanity has developed AI to become robots and essentially take all these monotonous tasks and then we become a brainless society, what if we go into space and find that we are literally, like, I've always was so interested in the concept, especially within, like, just in terms of, like, space exploration, AI, all that stuff. I want to really kind of explore the concept of, like, what if the stories that we all grown up, that there's aliens out there, that we are not the only ones in this universe. We actually are. And we conquer the entire universe, like we've conquered this entire Earth. And I think what would be a great show...
Have we conquered the Earth, or have we made on Earth to be on Earth?
We made Earth to be on Earth. But
we didn't really
conquer it. I feel like we came
out of nowhere.
We've came up, because like, who is on top of the food chain above us, right? No one's gonna, like, of course...
God.
There's God and creator and stuff, but like but if we're thinking about the creator, I think the creator essentially didn't just create this Earth. It's created everything.
The universe. Everything. Yeah.
My take is I believe in a higher power, but I don't believe in the higher power just creating us. I believe the higher power created this entire universe that we're in.
Right. The world. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that a concept of, if God really only made us the most powerful, like this one instance that this Earth is this one instance of life being present on this Earth. Because look at our solar system. We don't know if there's life on Mars. We don't know if there's life on any other planet outside our solar system. But it would be such an interesting concept to look at that as like, okay, if we do explore the stars one day and we find that we're the only ones left, how can we tell a story about our human nature of like basically inhabiting every other world? And how can we tell about our human nature of the corrupt people that have all the power and that they're putting all the simple-minded people under that, because there are going to be people who don't have that power, that don't have the agency, because the more powerful humans who use technology, who has more money, all that stuff, are now controlling other people. I really wanted to, and like, I also want to explore stuff like AI and like, what if there is an instance where a human brain can be transferred into an AI movement? So maybe the human brain, like, you know, they have all their memories of what they were in their human life, but they're no longer able to feel. They're stripped of their emotions, something that makes us truly human. And
I don't know if that's ever possible, though.
I mean,
to be, I don't know.
That would be an interesting concept to explore.
My answer to that would be how I would answer that, and I've thought of that too.
But yeah.
My answer and my thought process to that is, I don't know how much you believe in Bible, but I feel like everything that you need to know is everything is in there in the Bible, and I feel like if those stuff were important to us, if we can live on Mars or if we can go explore other things, it would have said that. I just feel like because God made everyone, or God gave everyone a free will, a human, it's a fallen world. So a human mind can be very bad in a way where they start to explore things that are not necessary. They start doing things that are not good. They want to do things that are not, that God told us not to do. Right? So God told Adam and Eve not to bite the apple, but they still did because they had the free will. Now human has a free will to, with our powerful mind, to create AI. Now we have a mind to create something that we can go outside of the Earth. But is that what we need? Is that what we should be doing? Probably not, right? Because it's like God put us on this Earth to be on this Earth and do whatever we're
supposed to do on this earth. Mm-hmm. We're not supposed to go to Mars and do that there. We're supposed to do it here.
Yeah, and I love that concept.
I don't think in a way we should be worrying about that. And like I said, it's a free will that we have, that our minds can go really far and start thinking about things.
There will always be those people who will go outside of that box. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
Because it's a fallen world, unfortunately. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
And I do.
As long as it doesn't go too far, then it's...
Of course. And hard. I do believe like that's a very good concept to keep, because like, you know, I wouldn't claim that I've read the whole Bible entirely.
Me neither.
But I do have, I do know some stories, and I do believe that as much as, like, you know, we can believe in the Bible and stuff in terms of like all the stories and all those kind of cherished memories, and it is talking about the human laws, which is such an important nature, because I do believe the Bible is the perfect example of what is human nature in a book. It's one of probably the most perfect examples of what is human nature. All these stories that talk about facets of our human nature. And that's why I think anytime...
And it's so true too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like, and I think that's why, like, it's great to have faith. And it's great to read about something like this, because it definitely, like, first of all, shows your human mortality. It shows how you can live a better lifestyle. And it can also show how can you avoid your pitfalls and human nature in general.
And have a relationship with God.
Exactly. And I do think that, and to your point, I love to explore that concept, especially in my work, is that, like, looking, if God gave us free will, how much of that free will can expand until we destroy ourselves completely?
Well, that's what I'm saying. And I think that's a question, because that's the point of the free will is, like, but then at the same time, with that free will, he gave us something to rely on, which is Bible. Now, obviously, you might not read the whole thing, but you will have to read some of the things and hear it from people that are important to hear. Now, like him telling us that we should follow the Ten Commandments, if we don't follow those Ten Commandments, not only that we don't go to heaven, as God says, but also it will destroy us as human beings, and we become monsters. We become people that are not supposed... We don't become ourselves. We become a completely different type of...
So let me ask you this. In this world that we are living right now, in this society, do you think that we follow anything within that book unless really read towards it?
Especially, I feel like if you're not anymore.
But I think people never really did.
Because you can't, you can't be perfect, right?
Exactly.
Because you're flawed. Yeah. Humans are flawed.
Only God is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, if you try to keep those commandments, and if you try to like keep the lifestyle that is taught in the Bible, then you are a better person spiritually, and your spirit's more clean
mm-hmm.
than not following it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like... it's a very interesting question. It's a hard question to answer too, but it's definitely something to, like, it's a good question to think about.
Cause like,
but that would be my answer.
I would love, like, you know, like, that question especially too is like something that I've always kind of like really was interested in, is like, how far have we gone from what God created us to do? Like, we can never know that answer.
I think we've gone far, though.
We've gone far, but we can never really know what God really truly created us for. But I do believe, like, that question of creation is something I really am so interested in understanding. And I know, like, you know, like, everyone's always tells me, like, you overthink too much about this stuff. But, like, I think it's such a great question. Like, I would love to make a show one day that really talks about our creation, and not only based within the Bible, but based within every religion, and based within just understanding, like, what is our existence, and how far are we going to go to derive from that existence? Because if we really truly were given free will, and we truly are flawed as beings, how flawed is this universe?
Pretty flawed. I mean, here's the thing. This is how I would answer it. I think we can know the purpose that God created us with if you have the drive to know God and to have a relationship with God, right? There are people that will not want anything to do with God. Therefore, the way they live their lifestyle is outside of any type of relationship with God or any type of want to believe in rules of God. But I think the purpose that God created us with, as it says in the Bible, when he created the earth, he created good, he created perfect. He created with human beings and he said, let's make human beings in our image. So when he created human beings in his image, now he wanted that image to then serve him and bring the glory of him. So us, I think what we do on earth is we glorify God. We glorify God physically mm-hmm. on this earth because he made us in his image. The more we have a relationship with God, the more we have that closeness with God, the better the better as society we really understand who God is, right? Mm-hmm. Because if we act according to what he tells us, according to his calling, according to the purpose that he's given us, the gifts, and we're using it in a positive way, in a way that he's given us, then the better we are kind of personifying what God created us for. I mean, he created you for a reason. He created all of us in this room for a reason. So when we have that relationship with God and we personify that creation, the more we understand that, okay, this was the purpose that he created me for on this earth, for me to do such and such. And I think that that's why we need to constantly keep ourselves in check, whether what we're doing is authentic, whether what we're doing is serving God, whether what we're doing is glorifying God. Because if you're not serving God, you're definitely serving something else. Mm-hmm. So it's like the question comes down to, what do you want to serve? Who do you want to serve? Mm-hmm. And what do you want to do on this earth that will glorify something, someone? So you're always doing these little things that will then eventually come to, an answer within and outside of yourself as well, that other people will pick up on, saying, okay, I think this is kind of what you're serving. I think this is what your main drive is in this life. So I think we can know that, but it has to come from our hearts. It has to come from that personal relationship with God. And for me, how I'm understanding why God created this is to love each other and love him with all our hearts. When we love God, I think we love each other because we are all his creations.
When we become, when we have that idea. That's exactly what I was going to say. When we become one, and we become one in our love and faith of God, we heal the world. Itself. Because the earth is so broken. But like, ever thought about one day if we just had all our hands together and really just focused our love for not only each other, but for our creator? Like, imagine we would have a better world. We would have a better world. Because then no one's going, we're not trying to kick ourselves down just to fulfill our own purpose. We have that one purpose to fulfill God's mission of what we were created for. To spread love and all that stuff. I really do believe that. And I think that's a message that the world does need to hear. And especially is what modern society needs to hear right now, is that we need to stop being so divided as people and realize that the only truth in the universe, if there are any, is God. There's one truth. One love.
Yeah.
One unity.
And yeah, we can't think about ourselves. We got to think about each other in every aspect. You know what I mean? Career-wise, even with... We started talking about art and movies, right? Like, I feel like back then, it just looked like, you know what I mean? This is just coming from a perspective of... Just my perspective. That's just how it showed in the movies that... They were creating movies and Disney movies for people, for them to enjoy. Now they're making it so they can make money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they need to start thinking about like people more, you know what I mean? Like almost more, because not more, but in a way that's like they care more about people, what that they're going to enjoy.
The impact.
Because now they don't care if someone's going to enjoy it. What they care about is if they're going to make money out of it or not.
And that's what storytellers need. And that's what our power as storytellers, because storytelling is one of the most ancient human language. Everyone understands a story.
Yeah, right.
Everyone understands a story. The Egyptians, to the Native Americans, to Americans, everyone understands one. And what I mean by that is also like the storytelling that gives impact to people. And the storytelling that we as human beings need to always cherish is the stories of our families, the stories of our ancestors, the stories of why we're here, the stories as deep as this Bible to the stories as deep as Disney. Everything in our life has been contrived by one unified story. And until we finally just make stories that keep talking about the human experience, we're never going to grow. And that's why I think stories are the most powerful things humanity has created, because God made the first story.
Yeah.
And we are all just stories. I literally said that at the end of the podcast.
Yeah.
We are all just stories.
I remember you said that on the previous podcast that we had.
Yeah.
It's like, you said something along, like, God is the author. We are kind of like he's the story writer. We are just the authors of our own stories that we write. And as we go on, the story is written, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, you said something like that. Which is beautiful, yeah. Any closing thoughts?
Say, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm good.
You good? All right, quote of the day. We like our guest share quote of the day.
Oh, yeah.
And this is going to be from...
from me, I guess. Modern society's biggest problem is instant gratification. I would like to also add, it's also repetitiveness.
Yeah. Just like what we talk about.
It's a lot of things, but it's instant gratification and repetitiveness.
Yeah, especially with how the technology has been developing and just our youth and our society is... Instant gratification is something that people cling on to so much, and you know, always wanting attention, always wanting something to feel, something to like dopamine, pleasure. Those are the things that people now are making their gods, and they can't live without it. They constantly need to feed that inner self with dopamine and pleasure, to the point where it gets so dark and it gets so in a rabbit hole where people don't know where all these insecurities, all these unfulfilling needs are coming from, because that's how much they've now devoted all that attention, all that time into just themselves. Mm-hmm. There's nothing outside of yourself, and this brings people into a depressing state of mind and anxiety, and it's really bad. So I think people need to really, you know, do dopamine detox and really spend more time doing natural things than unnatural things. And
so the moral of the story, guys, is be alive.
Yeah.
And wake up tomorrow and just go outside.
Yeah.
Don't even touch your phone. Just go outside. Okay, this is a call to action. If any of you guys are watching this, go outside, please. Okay, thank you. Mic drop. And thank God. Yes.
Yeah. Mike.
Shout out. I'm going to do a shout out. To be a man, face problems, take responsibility, be humble, and help without expecting anything in return. Summarizing it basically. Thank you, Dank Memes. He's a recurring member.
He's a recurring member. I was like, wow, Dank Memes, you are so forward.
I know Dank Memes. I know the profile picture too. I know what it looks like. It's the wolf. God.
Yeah.
What?
It's the wolf.
Oh, it wasn't from YouTube. It was from Instagram.
Wait, what wolf are we talking about?
No, Dank Memes. Like, I know what his profile picture looks like on YouTube because he just comments all the time.
He's like, thank you. Dank Memes.
Thank you, Dank Memes.
No, you're so Dank. It's Dan, because his name is Daniel, but it's Dan K. Nah, Memes.
Okay, Dan K. Memes.
It's not Dank, bro.
Love you, bro.
Change your name, then.
But yeah, he's an OG. Yeah, shout out to Dan. Thank you.
Thank you.
He's been commenting on our stuff since day one, and he's been supporting us. So thank you so much. And we really appreciate all the feedback from you guys. We appreciate everything that you tell us, everything that you share, because your feedback really helps us to improve this podcast, improve us, and you know, give you guys the content that you enjoy. So definitely check out my boy Danny's Instagram page. He shares, just give him the ad so we can put that on the screen.
All right, so it's if y'all didn't hear, if y'all didn't know, I'm on Instagram at dstar_x1. I'm also have my own website that's currently being in progress, which is danny-isakoff.com. There I just post like different art styles, and I'm an illustrator right now, but very soon I'll have my student film within the next year that I will be posting content for. And I'm very excited for all the other projects, Heart on Sleeves. Also, shout out to my boy at Jack Sheldon. Really cool guy.
Amazing, yeah. You're going to be making merch, right?
Well, not merch, but we are in the process of making a very exciting project that I can't give too much away, but let's just say we're going to have a fashion brand that's really going to have like a very deep lore to it. And I'm very excited to explore themes of social media, consumption, and all of that within that body of work. Nice. Yeah. So, very excited.
Stay tuned, guys.
Stay tuned.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming on again. I think it was a very interesting conversation. We learned a lot. And we're going to have some more in the future.
I really love these podcasts, man. Yeah, it's so fun.
What's our closing statement?
Do you remember?
No, I don't.
What am I supposed to
do? Yeah, you can't ask ChatGPT what our closing statement is.
Wait, you just can't Santa answer it?
No, so imagine Santa doesn't answer. I don't think he knows.
Oh, wait, guys. I made this little drawing.
All right, I knew the camera's on.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Yes, I made this drawing of the Think... the bros
we're gonna zoom in on that.
We just prop it up on the screen.
Who's we'll zooming on to that? Us.
Yeah, I'll send you a colored version of it. But okay. Very cool peeps, you know.
Yeah, me too. And a great artist, guys.
Thank you.
I really think that you're gonna succeed in your life. You're gonna be very successful with what you're doing. You can tell that you're doing this with your heart, and it's really your calling. It's your gift, and I think you're gonna be a great animator, great artist,
and you're gonna change the world
into a very positive place, and you're gonna give people more ideas. You're gonna inspire so many people, and with your art and with your creation, you're gonna show people that, you know, a world actually has that star, that light, that it can actually go after. So
yeah.
I think it's amazing what you're doing, and keep up the good work.
I just hope to be a guiding star for other people to guide themselves. That's all I'm here to do, and that's all I plan to do.
Amen. Yeah, it's amazing, bro. So with that, think big,
grow big.
Peace.
Bye.